thing. And it affects men and women. It's not just a woman's issue. It's men and women. It's a spiritual matter. All right? She is a spirit. So this woman, Jezebel, her name literally means partially married. She will keep the church in a place. And this is what happened to the church of Thyatira that she was in. She was in a place, the word Thyatira literally means castle or stronghold. That's what it means. This church was affected by her. This one of the seven churches was affected by her. They were known as the carnal church. Her name means stronghold or castle. She saps up some people's lives in the church in general. She has got a persuasive spirit. And the thing what she uses is lies, innuendo, and she'll always things that will attract and allure, mainly the opposite sex. She had a husband called Ahab. Ahab was a king. He had position without power. She ruled the roost. She ruled the roost. Whatever she said, he did. She had a strong personality. So this woman, Ahab, I can't keep going into it because we'll talk about it a bit more. Revelations 2, verse 18 and 26, Church of Thyatira. Her goal is to empower the servants of God to stop the prophetic voice and destroy the servants of the Lord and to rid the land of worship and the Lord. She set up strongholds in the nation of Israel, Ashroth and Baal. Ashroth and Baal killed the servants of the Lord or the prophets of the Lord. She does not want a prophetic voice in the house of God. She does not want you to speak about your future. She doesn't want you to decree a thing so it will be established. She wants you to shut your mouth. The minute she controls your mouth out of fear, and she uses fear, right? Who ran away from her? Does anyone remember who ran away from her? A man called Elijah, a man of power, a man who called down fire from heaven, a man who did something and God heard it. Right? And she said, more shall I do to you by the end of this morning that you did to my servants, or lest I die. And he ran. He ran. Amen. He had just destroyed 400 prophets and 400 prophets of Baal, and he called down fire, and he laughed at their gods, and he mocked their gods, and he wet their stones, and fire came down and licked it up like tongues of fire. And he then said, kill them all. Be God, kill them. Baal, be God, follow him. He was pumped. Then she said these few words and he ran like a little. He ran. Get me out of here. I'm the only one left. And that's exactly what she wants you to think. Am I the only one that goes like this? Am I the only one that thinks like that? Am I the only one that feels like this? And she gets you isolated. She will get you isolated in your thinking and isolated in your ideology. Anyway, need to keep going. The second woman was the woman, chapter 12, a woman clothed with the sun, standing upon the moon. Her had a garland of 12 stars upon her head, and she birthed the man-child. We'll talk about that one later on. There was a dragon that came against her, a fiery red dragon, had 7 heads and tails. Amen? And his name is the devil, Satan. In chapter 17 of Revelations, next one, son. There was a harlot woman. The harlot woman came upon a beast. The sun had 10 heads. Sorry, 7 heads, 10 horns. Same as chapter 12. Same type of beast. Same thought of authority. Same way it walked. Amen. She was a harlot. She's the apostate church. In other words, this church thinks whatever you feel, you can do. Whatever you like, you can have. She uses sexual immorality. And she looks like the church. She's arrayed in purple and blue. She has an appearance of a church, but she ain't the church. Amen? She rides on a beast that was, then was not, and now is. The was not, but now is. She uses the thing that we fight constantly every day, and her greatest ally is your flesh. That was. That was, your flesh should have died. You were buried with Christ. Amen? That is. That was not, now is. And so what happens is the flesh man rises up and the beast in my flesh is now being ridden by her. And so whatever she says to my flesh, I will fulfill. And I'll have an excuse for it. And I'll have a reason, and I'll pardon myself. Is this going to be deep for you? You need to know this sort of stuff in the book of Revelations. You need to know we're in the end time days. You need to know your enemy. You need to know what fight you're in. And it's not going to be a devil in front of you all the time. Sometimes the greatest enemy that you will see is what's looking at you in the mirror. You will usually have to fight your flesh more than anything. All right? It will rise up. And if you allow it to live, guess what? She will ride the beast. She will ride the beast in your life. And so what we do, we allow ourselves to do what we want to do. And we as Christians, like just not even Christians, anyone, we always love to give ourselves an excuse to the reason why. We justify ourselves. All right, I'm going to fast today, but I'll just have this last piece of cake. I rebuke chocolate while I'm eating the Cadbury's. We have a sensual and carnal nature, and it needs to be transformed and changed by the power of the blood of the Lamb. The name of Jesus. Amen. And Jesus will always lead you to a crucified lifestyle. He will always lead you to a what? A cross. Because without a cross, there will never be a resurrection. Jesus would never receive a resurrection power unless he went first to a thing called the cross. The fourth woman is the wife of the Lamb. She's been redeemed. She's been washed. She's put on her garment. Amen. She's put on her garment. She's allowed to enter in. She's now ready. She is ready, it says. She is ready for him. She's ready to herself. You can go to the book of Matthew. And there was a woman that got into the kingdom of heaven. A person that got into the kingdom of heaven. And because those who were invited didn't get in. So he says, go to the byways, go to the highways, find out those, invite them into the wedding feast. Came in. One came in and he wasn't dressed. The father saw him. I want to reiterate that. The father saw him. God saw him. Those around him didn't see him. Because it's not my place to judge anyone. The father saw him. And he went up to him and says, excuse me, where is your wedding garment? And he never uttered a word. So the Lord said to him, cast them out of the wedding feast. Why was he cast out? The wedding garments were given to in a wedding. You didn't come dressed. You came and got undressed and got redressed to go into a wedding feast in Israel. So the wedding garment was provided to him. He refused to put it on. What happens is, if I do not clothe myself with the garment of righteousness that he has purchased for me, and I try to walk in my own garment, my own righteousness, I am not fit for the kingdom of God. I can't enter the kingdom of God. I can't stay there, because what I'm saying, the blood of Jesus underfoot. I must put on his garment. I must put on his righteousness. I must walk on what he's purchased for me, on the power of the cross. I can't walk in my own righteousness, because it's like filthy rags. That's why he was cast out. Are we listening? All right, quickly, let's turn to the book of Kings. Let's turn to the book of Kings. Sorry, go to Revelations 1 and 6 first. Revelations 1 and 6. You need to find this out. Revelations 1 and 6, 1, 5 to 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth. His ruler over who? Jesus' ruler over? Kings of the earth. That's where you get the saying from. He's the king of kings. Rule over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. And he has made us what? He has made us kings and what? Kings and priests. So you're a king. Small k. He's the king of the kings. You're a small king. In other words, you have the rights and authority on earth that he has in heaven as in of the kings. You have the right to decree something. Only a king can do that. Decree something so it can be established. Only kings can do that. You are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood. A royal priesthood. You are a priest and a king. Can I get that through your head this morning? You have a right to declare and decree something because the King of Kings has given me that authority to decree something to be established. It's not that I'm anything else. I'm under him. He is the king, but he has given me a right to decree something and establish things in the spirit because he's made me kings. That's why in the book of Revelations, further on in chapter 8, I believe, all the kings threw their what to him? Their crowns. I've got to slow down. My wife's saying, slow down. And I'm concerning about the time, so I've got to. 2 Kings, turn with me. 2 Kings 9, 1 and 2. God is kings in this hour. I believe this is the dispensation God's getting his church into. He's raising up kings in this hour, priests who know his voice, whose life and lifestyle reveal the Christ. Who have a prophetic, hear me, you have the right to prophesy. In fact, the Bible says all can. How many can prophesy? All can prophesy. You have the right. God has tooled you to speak and prophesy. All right? You've got the right. And we walk by prophetic utterance. There is prophets that prophesy and decree and also direct. And we prophesy, which should exhort, esteem, and uplift. So if you come to me with a prophetic word and it's hopeless and it's down, I'm useless, I'm no good, I won't receive it because it's not a prophetic word. It should edify me. It should exhort me. It should uplift me. Amen. A prophetic word that carries an anointing. I don't want to hear what you think of me. Give me what God's saying about me. Let the word have an anointing on it. Let the word have, don't just, well, you know, God knows your thoughts and intents. It's all right. You'll be fine. Oh, well, that's nice. It's all okay. But don't tell me that's the Lord. Just that's your heart. When you thus saith the Lord, it better accompany the anointing that God releases with the word. Amen. Then I know it's God. When that anointing, because it's the anointing that gives me the capacity to see yokes broken and broken. Amen. 2 Kings 9, 1 and 2. Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets. I don't need this. It's in me. Called one of the prophets and says, go to Jehu, my servant, go to him, take some oil and anoint him as king. It actually says, gird yourself up, which means get a hold of your stuff and tie it up so quick. He says, and once you start running, he says, get out of there quick. Because the prophets of old were thought as babblers. They thought they were cuckoo. Get out of there. Get yourself ready. Take the flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Ramoth Gilead. We won't go there yet. Now, when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu Jehoshaphat. Now, Elisha was sent to do that. But in 1 Kings chapter 9, it was Elijah that was supposed to have done that. And Elijah never did it. He says, go and find Elisha and anoint him and anoint Jehu as king. He anointed Elisha, but he never anointed Jehu. Footnote. Nugget. When God speaks, the word is always living. And it will invent generations. But it will be fulfilled. If Elijah didn't do it, and he didn't, God will use someone else. And he used Elisha. When there's a word spoken over your life that has an anointing on it, oil, God will find you out, and that oil will find your head to anoint you to fulfill the call of God on your life. And it doesn't matter. It could be delayed, but you'll never be denied. Amen. It says, and go in and make him rise up. The anointing and the word of God will cause you to rise up. A true word of the Lord and an anointing on that word will cause you to rise up from where you're at. Jehu was in the company of other captains, and they actually said to him, what's this babbler all about? What does he want with you? I don't know. He said, I need to talk to you, Jehu. And so he says, rise up. So Jehu rose up. When you have a word received from God, it will cause something in your spirit man to rise up. And it won't just cause you to rise up. There will be an anointing with it for the capacity to fulfill what God has required of you. There's oil in the jar. Amen. Jehu rose up and went into the inner room. Secret place. I call it the secret place. Isn't it amazing when God keeps asking us to go to the secret place? And I believe we're in a season more than ever before that we need to keep visiting our secret place. He went into another room, it says, smaller room, so the man could speak to him, when the Holy Ghost could speak to him and anoint him. And you know what? When you get alone with Jesus in your secret place, there can be a word released for your life that has an anointing on it. You don't have to wait for someone to lay hands. You don't have to someone to cross a cross on your forehead. God has a word for you. All I've got to do is get into the inner secret place and hear the word. Hear that word. God wants to release a word over your life because he's made you already in the New Testament a king. The word was, he said this, take the flask of oil, pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I've anointed you king of... He's a captain. He's a nobody. He's a nothing. He's just one of the crowd. He never even knew the call of God was on his life. And God will pluck out no names. God will pull people out of the crowd because he has a way of their life to come and bring a difference to a nation. Amen. I'm going to be so bold this morning. If you're born again here this morning, you are that person. That person that he's made a royal priesthood, a king and a priest, and he has a word for you in season to change your world. To change your world. What I've got to do is rise up. What I've got to do is get in the secret place and then I've got to walk it out. Take the flask, pour it over, you're a king, then the door open, and then open the door and run. And do not delay. They weren't very favorable to the old babblers. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. Nugget. Here's my nugget for the day. Ramoth Gilead was a place. Does anyone know who Ahab, the king, lusted for someone's field? Jezebel made it happen. Does anyone know the man's name? Naboth. Ramoth of Gilead is Naboth's field. God always ensures that whoever is coming against his beloved, God will always make sure that he will always have the lay. He will vindicate his beloved. Naboth had died, but God hadn't forgot. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth, and they arrived, and where the captains of the army were sitting, he said, I have a message for you, Commander Jehu. For which one of us? He said. He didn't know. He didn't have a clue. For you, Commander. Then he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus saith the Lord God, I have anointed you the king of the people of the Lord over Israel. I have anointed you what? King. Who's the Holy Ghost anointed today? You and I. You're a king. And I know that sounds... highfalutin. It's not about position. So talking about position, it's talking about your authority. Next one, please. You shall strike down the house of Ahab. God had prophesied Ahab had to die. Your master, now you may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males of Israel, both bond and free. So I will make Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and over those who have some of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. The dog shall eat Jezebel. The dog shall eat Jezebel. Gets a bit gruesome here. On the plot of the ground of Jezreel shall be none to bury her. In fact, it says she'll be the dung of the dogs. She'll be scattered. Then Jehu came out of the servants out to the servants of his master and said to them, is all well? Why did this madman come to you? The prophet. Why did the madman come to you? He said to them, you know the man and his babble. And they said, a lie. Tell us now. So he said, thus he spoke to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed you king of Israel. Then each man hastened to take his garment, put it under him on the top of the steps, and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king. The anointing attracts. The anointing attracts. They were the same rank as him, captains. Yet when you see true anointing and you witness to the word spoken over someone's life, it attracts. Amen. Jehu is king. Jehu then went. Next slide, son. Jehu then went, anointed as king. Anointed him as king. I've already done that one. It's all right. He anointed him as king and he went. And he wanted to fulfill the word of the Lord. An anointing on the word, the spoken prophetic word, will cause you to be obedient to the word. One of the greatest steps of fulfilling the anointing of God on your life is obedience. And though the task was gruesome for him, well, not really, he was a captain of an army, but though it was quite gruesome for us to do what he did, when God says something to be dead in your life and killed in your life, you can't afford to live with it. If you want the anointing to keep flowing in your life, that thing that God has pointed out in your life must die. I can't afford to live with it and expect the flow of the anointing on my life. It won't happen. God expects me to deal with the issue in my life while he's given me the anointing to do it. If you didn't have the anointing to do it, it would be unjust. But he's anointed you to do it. Therefore, obedience is the next step of keeping and flowing in the anointing of God. With me. Jehu called to get up from among them. He went. He met the king. In fact, he was going on the way to Naboth's field. And one of those came out and said, "Oh, is all well, Jehu?" Jehu said to the servant of the king, "What is it to you? Get behind me and follow me. The anointing will cause someone that is against you, to come to be before you." It attracts, it causes arguments to mellow. It causes people's mindsets to change, the anointing of God. The king sends out another one. The same thing happens. The mindset of those soldiers turned and they followed. At the point, the king himself came out. "Is everything well, Jehu?" He said this, "What is it to you, you son of Jezebel, who has defied us and caused and your use witchcraft against us?" And he drew a bow and he got the arrow and it came out the other side. His heart came out the other side. And he killed him. In other words, he was obedient to the word. Now, this is all getting to a point. To carry the anointing, I believe God is dealing in a dispensation now where he wants to deal with certain things in the house of the Lord and in people's lives that have faults. Amen? That hold people back from fulfilling the purpose of God for their life. But we have to address them for what they are. Otherwise, I will walk like Ahab walked, and I'll walk a pacified, lifeless, unanointed life. You're a king, but no power. Ahab was king, position, no power. But God has told me he's come to give me what? Power. He's come to anoint me with the power of God, to see all things under my feet, that I might rule and reign with him. Amen. And I believe, now this might get a little bit tight, but I believe a lot of Christians' reasons why they're not getting victory in their life is because they want to live with something God wants to die. So they won't let it die. Yet they want to go in the experience and the power of the anointing all the time. They want to, "Can you pray for me? I want to feel the anointing. Can you release the anointing on my life?" Yes, and all the time. But really, if we're really honest, you have an anointing. 1 John tells me every born-again believer has an anointing. So it says, You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you should know all things. In other words, you should be a witness to the truth. Jehu gets to the stronghold at Ramoth, Naboth's field. I love how God vindicates. I love how God vindicates. Next slide, son. I love how God vindicates. Shouts out. She knew he was coming, this Jezebel. So just the woman she was, instead of worrying about who was coming, she started putting her makeup on. She started doing her eyes up. She wanted to put her face on. My wife calls her, I'm going to go and put my face on. Just going to go and put my face on. Because the spirit is alluring. It tries to attract by the natural realm. It's sensual. It's demonic. And one of its greatest weapons, rife in the church, is pornography. It's rife. Sexual immorality, old King James would say. It's a thing that this spirit allows people to, it won't hurt you. And the saints start to excuse it. And all of a sudden, the anointing ebbs. He won't share his glory with another. He says to the people in the tower, if you are for me, cast it down. He said to him, are you like Zimri the son? Will you do unto the king like Zimri did to the king? And he wouldn't even entertain her words. He just turned around and says, if you are for me, down. And they threw her down and she died. Jehu the king would not entertain her words. Won't entertain the words. A true king won't entertain gossip. Won't entertain it. They don't want to hear about it. It says, eunuchs. The eunuchs looked at him and threw her down. And it said, then he trampled her underfoot. The horses trampled on her. And where should they be? Under your foot. So he had a party because he had a win. But the anointing through the prophetic enabled him to pull down the stronghold. And God brought deliverance to a nation out of obedience, out of a king. I really believe, I think so many times the church is trying to fight fires and little things. But really what we should be changing is not little things. We should be changing the power structure of a whole kingdom. Doesn't the Bible say he has the king's hearts in his hand? Is that what the Bible says? So when there's a something evil, something happening, we don't put out the fires. We put out the flamethrower. We want change. We're orchestrators of change by the Spirit. We pray things through until it's birthed. Governments can change through prayer. Unrighteousness can be transformed by prayer. Are you with me? Jehu trampled her underfoot. And that's exactly where the Spirit belongs. He coerces the saints of God who are bewitched by her witchcraft and strongholds set up in their lives. It's a Jezebel. It's a Jezebel spirit. Amen. Last one. But God is called, I believe, calling people out of the ranks of the army, men and women who are prepared and come out. Rise up. Come to the secret place. Come and hear a word from the Lord. And let the word carry you. Let the word have an anointing to see that thing broken in people's lives. I believe we're living in a dispensation of time. We're living in a dispensation where it's going to rise up in such power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. These signs shall follow those who believe. Chains could not hold Peter in prison. Chains could not hold Paul in prison. Prison doors opened by themselves because they began song. Amen. They were in the deepest, darkest dungeon. Yet it was the jailer who called for the light, because he didn't have light. They had a light within. They didn't need a light. They knew who they were. Chains. I believe we're going to see chains and prison doors open in people's lives. I believe that Jezebel's spirit's power will be broken. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to start cleaning up his church from the ridicules of pornography and all the wickedness and the lewdness of sexual sin and immorality. God's going to bring a holiness back to the church. But this thing has to be under the king's foot. And we have the walk. Walk the walk and keep it under your feet, and do not even entertain her words. Amen. Who are prepared to get up, come aside to the secret place to receive a word and get the anointing of God, who are set up to fulfill his command and see the kingdom of God established on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we, the church, are sitting back waiting for God to do something. You heard it this morning. It is finished. He's waiting for you and I to rise up in this kingly anointing, to put these spiritual things under our feet, to see people that are in chains and imprisoned set free. Amen. To walk free. You have an anointing, but it's going to take someone to rise up out of the ranks. It's going to take someone to say, you know what? God, I'm going to get in my secret place. I'm going to spend some time alone with Jesus, because there's all power in the name of. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to receive something from Jesus. I need a prophetic revelation in my life to see this thing broken over my family, over my house, over my children, over my marriage, whatever it is. God, you've enabled me to have it under my feet. Glory to God. Who believes that this morning? Is there any kings in the house? Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be so bold this morning, but I believe I need to do this. If you're touching pornography, stop it. Now. It will rack your mind, and it will put weights of condemnation on your soul. You need to stop it now. Oh, you don't know what I'm going. I don't care what you're going through. If you're a king in this house, an anointing from the Holy One, and you can do everything he says you can do. Otherwise, he's a liar, and my God cannot lie. Stop it now. Repent. I know that's not a word today in today's millennium kids. Repent? I don't need to repent. Jesus already paid the price. Yes, he has. You've got it all in the bank, but you need to take a withdrawal. Repent. Repent. The word repent means to turn away from. 180 degrees. Walk away from it. Otherwise, it will chase you. It will consume you. You have not got in your own strength. If you had the power in your own strength, you wouldn't need a Savior. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. Amen. And all sin is common to man. You're not the only one that battles these sorts of things. Just battle things in some way, in some degrees. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Expose it to the light and it flees. You break its power. Glory to God. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Come aside that I may whisper something in your ear, the Lord would say. Rise up that I may give you a word to speak. Anointing on it to change lives. Glory to God. We sung a song this morning. He has to be the center of it all. He's got to be the center. everything, not some things. I can't let him be the champion of this and not the champion of that. He's got to be the champion of all things in my life. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. She weaves a web of a stronghold in her life. But I believe this is the dispensation, the day she served notice, and she's going to be under your feet in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you kings and priests of the Most High God. Glory to God. Don't raise your hand when I say this. You suffer and you struggle with things like pornography, anger. Old King James would say wrath. It's a spirit. Wrath. Where you feel you're in a prison and all you see is the same old and nothing's happening. God wants to deliver a word to you this morning that has an anointing on it to break your chains. When you're looking at a circumstance over and over again, it's not changing and you're screaming at it, you're praying about it and nothing's happening. There's a fresh word for you this morning. God's going to break your chains. God's going to break your chains. When there's things happening in your household and you don't know why it's happening, but it's over and over and over and over again, and you're praying about it, but nothing seems to change, God's going to break them chains. Amen. He's delivering a word for you, but you need to get aside and arise up out of the miry and say, God, this is my moment as a king of the Most High God. I receive your word by faith. I receive your word by faith. You must receive it by faith before you can walk in it. Amen. Glory to God. If that's you this morning, I want you to just lift up your hands. Please let everyone know this is a very solemn moment. You lift and say, God, I want change. I want change. I want change in my life. Chains broken. I want chains around my family broken in the name of Jesus. I want chains around my children broken in the name of Jesus. I want chains around my husband and my wife broken in the name of my marriage, in the name of Jesus. Father, 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 you see our hands raised this morning in surrender. It's an act of surrender to you this morning. I surrender it all. I surrender to you this morning, Jesus. I surrender to you this morning. Father, I thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your word this morning that has power and anointing. And God is going to break chains and shackles. It's going to release seasons, Lord, of bountifulness in their lives. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, my God, whom you set free is free indeed. I thank you this morning, my God, my house is a house of joy and peace. My house, my God, is blessed in fruitfulness. I thank you, my God, I'll get out of here, Father, knowing I'm a king and I have the authority to have all things under my feet in Jesus' name. I thank you, you've made me the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I thank you, sickness is beneath me in the name of Jesus. I thank you, my God, in Jesus' name, that, Lord, what you have blessed, no man can curse in the name of Jesus. And God, you've decreed me blessed because I serve a blessed God. So, Lord, I bring order into my life. I bring an order into my life. I rise up. Rise up this morning. And I come into that secret place to hear a fresh word. That God, I can be the prophet of my tomorrow. I can be the prophetic voice to my house. I can be the prophetic voice to the situation. And God, under the anointing of your spirit, it will bring change and release in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks and praise for that in Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. John, could you just put the list up of the things that walk in the Spirit? There's five things. I didn't get to that, but I'd like you to take a copy of that. I don't want to share that. That's how you walk. Is to walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Receive the word by faith. Never doubt God will fulfill his word even over generations. God will be a witness to the word. The word will carry an anointing to perform. The anointing will always carry authority. Hear me? The anointing will always carry authority. Walk in obedience to the word. Refuse to leave what God wants you to deal with. And you will constantly be filled with fresh oil. Amen. God bless you.